Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin tail pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin sale pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Boys that don't tolerate it, melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation, Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, nbpp.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Did you see that they were burying in Congo? They were burying the tooth of Patrice Lumumba, the tooth. Lumumba was a good leader in Congo, and he had been elected properly. But the traitors, working with the imperialists, killed him and dissolved his body in acid. Can you imagine? Prime Minister, the one who won a democratic election, he was killed and his body was dissolved in acid. But there was apparently a Belgian policeman who was nearby, and apparently Lumumba had a golden tooth. Somebody had put gold in his mouth. So this policeman kept the golden tooth and kept it, took it away. And then when he was dying, the Belgian policeman, when he was dying, he left the tooth with his daughter. Then later on, some people heard about it and they go and got it from her. This is the one they were burying the other day. When Lumumba was killed, I was already active politically, 1961. So all these years, we pointed out to the youth of Uganda that you people, if you want to deal with the two missions, the mission of prosperity and the mission of strategic security, you must have a minimum of the following ways of belief. Number one, patriotism. You must be patriotic. Patriotism comes from the Latin word padre or something like that. Father. You must love your fatherland, whether Uganda or whichever country you are in. You must love it. Must be patriotic. You should not accept sectarianism in your country. Or many of these problems you hear in Somalia, clans are fighting in all these areas, Boko Haram in Nigeria, that they are fighting for God or something like that. That bankruptcy must be resisted and crushed. You talk sectarianism, we go against you. Because you are our enemy, you are enemy of our prosperity. We want Uganda to be united so that we can work on our prosperity within Uganda and in each of the countries where you come from. So if somebody comes talking about tribes, about religion, that's your enemy. Therefore, the answer there is patriotism. I discovered there's what they call, do we have some young people who speak French here? Do you have some of you who speak French? Are there some French speaking? Are there some? Stand up and I see. Français. Oh, comment allez-vous? Ça va bien? Sit down. Now, I tried to learn French more than 60 years ago. But I didn't go far. But I kept some words. Famille la porte. Ouvrez la porte. But one which I kept reminding is beaucoup dormir. Beaucoup dormir. That means you are sleeping a lot. Now, the good thing is that in Africa there is a lot of sleepy. Beaucoup dormir. And beaucoup dormir is also good in a way. Because when you are asleep, you don't know what will kill you. A snake can come in the house where you are and it will bite you peacefully and you die without knowing. That's also good in a way. But when you wake up, you start finding more facts. These Ugandans here, under some of their confused leaders, where Boku Dorimir, they were asleep. Your tribes, religion. Okay. Thank you very much. Now, but as you talk about your tribes and your religions, can you produce some wealth for yourself? That's what our movement did. We started mobilizing them, and they started producing. They started producing. Now, and of course, because of the peace, production has gone up a bit. So, they are producing no maize. Now they are producing 5 million tons. Within Uganda, they are consuming only 1 million tons. So there is a surplus of 4 million. Oh, there is a surplus. Market. Hey, then we said, but we told you that you should be Pan-Africanist. There is a need for maize in other parts of Africa. That's what we are telling you. Some of the people we are telling you, tribes, religion, for us, we are telling you, patriotism within Uganda, Pan-Africanism in Africa. That's what we are telling you. So now you are stuck with the maize. Who buys it now? Oh, to what Charlie Ao? That's how they speak, you know, the Ugandans. They are in no hurry. To what Charlie Ao? Then the cattle keepers woke up. They were buying imported milk from Denmark, powdered milk. Then they would put in water and call it Uganda Dairy Corporation. So we organized them, they started producing milk. They are now producing 2.8 billion liters. But Uganda is consuming only 800 million liters. The surplus of 2 billion. So, when we sell the milk, I said, you tell me. Because you are talking about tribes. Let the tribes buy this milk. Let the religions buy. No, you look for the milk. Oh, so you want me to be Pan-Africanist? Yes, we think Pan-Africanism is good. And so on. You can go with the sugar. When these Ugandans have woken up and started producing something instead of dormir, they have now discovered that they need Africa. They need East Africa. So that's why, in addition to biology, you need ideology. And ideology, number one, our experience is that, number one, patriotism. Love each of your countries. Don't allow opportunists to divide your countries along sectarian lines. Secondly, love Africa, Pan-Africanism. Thirdly, you must change. You must become modern. Your families must become modern. You cannot go on with the pre-capitalist mode of life. You must build a middle class and a skilled working class. That's why we talk of socio-economic transformation. That's the third principle in our movement. Society must change. And finally, democracy. Democracy is very crucial. These military regimes, like the ones I hear in West Africa, are of no value because they are not accountable to anybody. So at least let the civilians be there and fail and they are voted out. It is much better than having these ones who are accountable to nobody. So therefore, two things for the youth, because you are the ones who invited me. Number one, the mission. prosperity and strategic security. Number two, the ideology. Patriotism, Pan-Africanism, socio-economic transformation, and democracy. Then you can talk about the other issues, the tactical issues you are talking about, how to do this, how to stand up, how to sit down. Those can be possible if you have got a secure framework where you can do what you are doing. The countries which are coming up, like India is coming up. It's a huge market. If I was in India now, I would be a billionaire. Because I would produce a product and it is consumed by 1.4 billion people. China is coming up. China has overtaken all these little countries, England, all those. They have overtaken them. They are only now second to the United States. Why? Because of the market. The size of the market matters. So therefore, youth, biology, and ideology. Merci beaucoup. Therefore, listen carefully to what you need to do if you are going to go far. Secondly, remember that the issues of the youth are not issues of biology. Because biology, youth is biology. But that biology can have youth who have got different ideas. Right ideas or wrong ones. When we were engaged in struggles, like you hear the professor from South Africa, we, the freedom fighters, were youth, but we had youth who had different ideas. Idi Amin was a youth. When we were fighting Amin was not an old person. He was a youth. But a youth with the wrong ideas. So therefore, I want to caution you, this youth. That is biology. The question is, What right ideas do you have? If you don't have right ideas, you run up and down and you'll end up going nowhere. And it's not difficult for the African youth to find these ideas, because they are clear cut. Basically, you can put them in two categories. Category one is what is the mission of the African youth? What is their mission? Their mission in our time, but also in your time, and beyond your time, was two elements. Number one, how will you get prosperity? Prosperity for the African people, including yourselves. Because that's part of the problem. Poverty. Lack of prosperity. And all the elements that create it. Do you want Africa to be prosperous? Or do you want Africa to remain with all sorts of problems created by underdevelopment in a continent which is so rich yet so poor? And when you talk of prosperity, you are talking of really, how do you become prosperous? By begging? Can you become prosperous by begging? If you are of that idea, which some of the youth who were with us were, because some of them believed like that, that Africa, by begging, what they were calling donors, that Africa would be all right. It's now 60 years since independence, and many parts of the country have not moved forward in spite of that aid and so on. That dependency syndrome. Our line with the youth who were not on the side of Idi Amin was that no, the only way to be prosperous is to produce goods and services and sell them. But in order to do that, you need a number of other things which I will talk about. So the youth, according to our analysis, which is well written, must be in the vanguard of producing goods or services which they can sell within Uganda, if you are Ugandan, within Africa, and in external markets. Every youth should be able to produce or participate in producing a good or a service which he sells or he or she sells. That's mission number one. How to create prosperity through the production of goods and services. Of course, it has got all sorts of other issues that go with it, which I may not have time to exhaust. Now, the second mission, is how to create strategic security in Africa. Because now Africa is the center of chaos now, today. What is happening in Mali, Burkina Faso, even Nigeria, Niger, sometimes Cameroon, some parts of Chad, Central African Republic, Somalia, Congo, DRC, all chaos. So how do we create strategic security? This is the second mission. For everybody, but starting with the youth, because you are the ones who have got longer to stay here on earth before you go to either heaven or hell, whichever. So, these are the two missions. Prosperity through wealth creation, production of goods and services, and strategic security. But then, if you want to produce goods and services, then you have a problem. Who buys these goods or services? Because if you produce goods and services, never mind the other issues, which I don't have time to go into the issues of, because you cannot produce a good and a service unless you have got infrastructure, you have got electricity, you have got roads, you have got many other things which you need before you produce a good and a service, which of course you must put in place. But even if you do, you have the problem of where do you sell, who buys what you produce. Because you can get parts of the world, like the North America, which is comprised of two countries, United States and Canada, and Central and South America, which have got, I don't know, maybe 16 or so countries. Mexico, Venezuela, all those, Colombia, Uruguay, El Salvador, some of them are very small, Guatemala and so on, Brazil. Now, in that continent, North America has been having prosperity for a long time now, almost one century, living a nice life. The life now is not so nice. They have got some problems, but this is recent. Otherwise, they've been having a nice life. They overeat. While Africans are under-eating, nice houses, vehicles, electricity, and so on. Neighboring in Latin America, South America, people are living in misery. You see them walking, going to the United States to look for survival. You have seen them walking, being pushed back. Immigration is a big issue. And yet, South America is one of the richest continents on earth. It has got all the natural resources, big forests at the Amazon, big rivers, very good land, minerals. Some of those countries have got a lot of minerals. Peru, what have you, even petroleum. But what is the problem? The problem is political organization. The way they are organized, being balkanized. Somebody should teach you that word. Balkanization. You have heard of some part of the world called the Balkans. Balkanization means small countries. El Salvador, Guatemala, I don't know what, Honduras, Costa Rica, I don't know what. It's not easy to be prosperous in those countries. Even if you produce a good or a service, if you don't have enough people who buy from you, you cannot become prosperous. So therefore, the mission of the African youth, if you don't want to be like the ones of South America, actually you are already like that, you are trying to go to Europe through Morocco, through where? In the Mediterranean. Then you start creating wealth here, but talking among you to create a framework for how that wealth can grow sustainably. And answer to that is market integration. The African youth, if you see an African youth, who does not talk about market integration in Africa? That youth is off the point. He will add no value. He will just be youth, until you just become former youth like myself. Without adding any value. So, market integration. Because once the market is integrated, if I produce a good here in Uganda, or a service, and it is consumed by anybody who wants to do so, within the population of Africa now, which is now 1.6 billion a year, there is no way you can fail to grow the business to grow, and by the business growing, you employ more people, you pay more taxes. Taxes are used to solve other problems in the country. Then we shall see, we shall say that these are youth who know what they are doing. So that is mission number one, to create prosperity through market integration in addition to whatever else you are doing. Then the second mission is strategic security. Africa needs to secure itself against all threats. We were colonized by 1900, the whole of Africa was colonized except for Ethiopia. That colonization was due partly to external greed, but also to internal weaknesses. Our chiefs and kings, we are so bankrupt, couldn't defend us. And the reason they could not defend us was egocentrism. Each one is a king, each one is a king, this one is a king. They can't cooperate among themselves. Put on your lion skins. When he puts lion skins, he thinks he's a lion. And the colonialists were not strong. The colonialists were not strong, and it took long. You can imagine when Vasco da Gama. Vasco da Gama went around Cape Town in 1498 when he went through Mombasa and went to India. The first European to get to Uganda was 1862, Huntington Speke. This is almost 400 years. If you calculate it, 1498, 1862, I think it is 364 years, exactly. These Europeans were passing by Zanzibar, by Mombasa. Vasco da Gama after attacked Mombasa, and information was coming that new people were coming. Let's organize ourselves to defend ourselves. No, the kings were just here, running around with the skins and so on. For 400 years, they could have prepared themselves. But they needed to unite also, to work together. So therefore, and when we unite, there is no problem we cannot solve. All these little problems they are talking about, these are not big problems. Security, what have you. Bule too. The bule is a Swahili word for nothing, those who don't know Swahili. But because of lack of unity, what is small becomes big. I can illustrate to you, for instance, your professor there, Maloka, in 1963, when the OAU was founded in Addis Ababa, there were only 36 independent African countries at that time. The other almost 20 were still under colonialism. When they met in Addis, our leaders, some who had some very good strong leaders like Nkrumah and Nyerere and Gamal Abdel Nasser, Ben Bella and others, they said the whole of Africa must be free. At that time there were still parts of Africa where the colonialists were refusing to give up. Mozambique, Angola, Zimbabwe, Namibia, South Africa, Guinea-Bissau. The colonists were refusing to leave. Our African leaders passed a resolution saying that those parts of Africa must be free, peacefully, but if anybody refuses, we shall remove him by military force. The Europeans laughed. What can Africans do? They just laughed. What can Africans do? Oh. The Africans, our leader at that time, formed a liberation committee of nine countries, which was based in Dar es Salaam. And that liberation committee coordinated with the anti-colonial liberation movements in each of the countries. Frelimo in Mozambique, ZAPU-ZANU in Zimbabwe, MPLA in Angola, SWAPO in Namibia, ANC-PAC in South Africa, PAIGC in Guinea-Bissau. This was 1963. Exactly 11 years later, 1974, the African armies defeated the European armies in Mozambique and in Angola and in Guinea-Bissau. Total defeat. In my tribe, when you wrestle and you don't knock down the other person properly, they say you are falling down like women. to knock down like a man, you must be down and you must be up. So the European armies were defeated. Chiman, in the manual way, totally defeated. In Zimbabwe, Ian Smith said he would be there for 1,000 years. 1,000 years turned out to be 15 years. He was gone. We had defeated him. So we defeated colonialism by force. All these problems are created because of lack of unity. That's why we cannot solve a problem like this, all these initial problems which are around. So therefore, secondly, you, the youth, the current youth, if you want to be of some value to your continent, you must deal with the issue of political, either unity or coordination among the African countries. But in order to do that, it's not a problem. Because because part of the problem is the way some of the people think. Because when they talk about Africa, they talk about, oh, there are so many tribes in Africa, so many what? No, sir, madam. The African groups are only in four categories by language, four linguistic groups. Group number one, the Niger-Congo group of languages. All these groups from here, all the way to South Africa and to West Africa, Southern West Africa, they are part of that group, the Niger-Congo, the Bantus, and the Kwa, they are one group, one linguistic group. Then you have the Nilo-Saharan, like the Somalis, the Oromos, the peoples of the Nilotics, of northern Uganda, northern Kenya, Congo, Chad, and so on. Are called the Nilo-Saharan. Then the Afro-Asiatic, the Arabs and the Amharas and Tigray. That is the third group. And then the Khoisan, the Bushmen, the one in South Africa, the smaller group. So the people we are asking you to integrate economically so that they work for their own prosperity and coordinate or unite or harmonize politically so that they guarantee their security are actually people who are either similar or linked. But because of ideological bankruptcy, all the parasites emphasize differences, this tribe, religion, and you don't counter them, you don't tell them that you, Satan, go away, you are useless, you are against my prosperity, I want a common market of Africa so that I can sell my products. Because me, I'm a producer of wealth. I'm not a parasite. I don't depend on anybody. I depend on myself. All I need is a market big enough to support my production. So when somebody comes to tell me about tribal religion, I say, Satan, go away. You are useless. You have no value to add. So therefore, in order for you to go from biology, youth, which is hiding reality, because some youth are confused, some... When Jesus was killed, he was a youth. Do you remember Jesus? Jesus, he was 33 years old. And he was killed by other youth. The Pharisees. So, don't hide behind youth. What is your ideological position? Are you for that we are not talking about just youth? Yes, youth is one side, but what is your ideology? So it is youth, it is biology and ideology together. That's how you get a forward movement. So here in Uganda, because we have been involved, the other day I saw them.
Members of the Zambian diaspora, who have organized this wonderful initiative. And we really, really appreciate this, what you have organized. Very important. Friends and family, I decide to single you up, friends and family, because in our agenda to reconstruct our country's economy, we cannot do it alone. Yes, we take the lead, but in each of these things, for us to raise the significance, we need to work with the friends and family. And there are many. I met many of them in my early years, in school, in business. I know you met many. Let's invoke that network and bring it to the table, make it work to help us achieve.
Time that we are meeting physically, and I'm humbled and gladdened at once. You know, many things have and will continue to be said. I listened to my brother Lucas, and Lucas, whom I've had the advantage of knowing for a long time, I've listened to your presentation on Wakanda, and I remember telling him that one of the problems we have in Africa is that when one comes up with an initiative, we want to start yet another one. And we must not do that if we are going forward. We must embrace a good idea and energize that idea, notwithstanding the source of that idea. And the beauty of this assembly is that we are now wedded to the realization that we have spoken for too long. That does not mean that we will stop speaking. We will. But as my good friend and sister says many times, the mind is where the battles must be fought and won. You know, in the last few days, as I've traveled across the United States of America and allowed my mind to wrap itself around the efforts that have been made by persons of African origin over the years, many things come to my mind. The whole idea that Africa can only regain her lost glory through investment is one that has been recognized times without number. Many of you who are here in the diaspora will remember the very early efforts of Jamaica's Marcus Garvey. When he came up with his project, he recognized that the only way in which we are going to be recognized is to do things that change people's lives. Today, the Chinese are gaining recognition throughout the world, not just because of what they say, but because of what they do. This morning, as we entered this room, and as we registered our presence in this room, we were given little notebooks, which are now resident on your tables. If you turn the back of your notebooks, you will know that they are made in Guangzhou in China. The Chinese don't have to announce their presence, they are here. By dint of that little notebook. And that is what I hear saying today. That Africa must do things that allow her to be recognized without her saying so. A mango tree can say that it is an orange, but that does not make it an orange tree. It is by doing things that we will change. And talking about the mind, it is Malcolm X who once said that if you've been made to come through the back door for too long. Even where there is no back door, you'll create one. And I think many times we find ourselves in a situation where there is a front door, but we are not willing or ready to go through the front door. We want to create a back door for ourselves. The time has come that we must stop. This morning, I received a footage which is doing the rounds. It is a conversation that Brother Louis Farrakhan had in Malawi in 1998. And he was telling the Malawians that we are tired of being beggars around the world. The time has come that we must do something. This is what Sister Arikana is telling us through the Wakanda City. This is what Shuri is telling us. This is what Brother Lucas is telling us, that we have talked for too long. And those of you who are here, and those of you who are listening through technology, there are many things that are happening in Africa. It is easy to get tired. It is easy to be negative. It is easy to relapse into depression. It is easy to embrace do-nothingism. But ask yourself what that will do to this generation and generations yet to be found. You know, fortune favors the vigilant throughout history. The Igbo in Nigeria have a say, made famous by their son Chinua Achebe, when he says that when you see a frog in daylight, you know that something is after its time. Today, many Africans are coming out. And the question that some are asking is, what is after their life? There are many things that are after our lives. Poverty is running to catch us and to subdue us. And we know the pain of poverty. Wars are running after our lives. So that today, if you look at the indices of human development, life expectancy is going down. Maternal mortality is on the rise. Infant mortality is on the rise. Our young men and women are relapsing into depression. They are cannon fodder for those who are recruiting them to get into organizations whose only agenda is to destabilize the continent. And you see it across the continent. If you don't see it in Nigeria, you see it in Mozambique. If you don't see it in Mozambique, you see it in Ethiopia. And the question that we must ask is, what can we do about it? Impossible is a word that we are quick to embrace, but it's one that belongs to the dictionary of fools and cowards. We must not say that things are impossible. I remember in 1987 when a young man seized political power in Burkina Faso, Thomas Sankara. He said, in order to change the world, you must do things that others will think are mad. This is the point in time at which we must be mad, but mad in an organized way. As I listen to my good brother Lucas, I'm quite certain that many have questioned your sanity. When you are making a presentation about Wakanda City, they are saying, why are you thinking like this? I am urging you, continue being insane. Because it is only through insanity of that kind that we are going to change the continent of Africa. I look forward to the day in Ghana when with Sister Arikana we shall be present there and cut the sword, so that we may lay the foundation stone for a city which will become a pilgrimage site for our men and women who are in the diaspora and for others who are living within the mother continent. It can be done and it must be done. So the time is now. The time is now for us to rise up and do the things that we must. The time is ripe for us who are in the mother continent to create an environment where those of you who are in the diaspora can come home. Whether you are in the United States of America, whether you are in Europe or Latin America or in Asia, you must create, we must create an environment where you can come in and support our efforts. It can't be done. Sister Anikana talked about the Jews. Ask yourselves, if you read history, when these Jews were dispersed over 2,000 years ago, then in 1948, they created a nation. There are just a few of them. But wherever you go in the world, you hear, this is a Jewish establishment. I'm told that there is an unwritten code that money must circulate within amongst them several times over before it goes out. Look at us. The relationship between ourselves and money is so flirtatious that when it enters our pocket, it's in the business of getting out. We must stop that. We must create an environment where when money gets into our pocket, it finds a comfortable residence which accommodates it, which allows it to germinate and to grow. Until the day that we do that, we are going to be the scoundrels of this world. And we cannot afford that luxury. You know, when statisticians do what they do best, and they tell us that there are 400 million of people of African origin in the diaspora, I ask myself what it is that they can do, and I hear it being said that if only 1 million of them were to decide to give and give consistently, then we could move mountains. But you know, we must exercise certain ghosts which are resident in our hearts and minds. The ghosts of suspicion, the ghosts of doubt, the ghosts of low self-esteem. These ghosts are so dominant in our hearts and minds that whenever we want to move in the right direction, they tell us, please don't move in that direction. It was never meant for you. Until we exercise those ghosts, we are not going anywhere. So you are here, there is a sense in which you are in the process of exercising those ghosts by agreeing to sit here and to listen to investment and ideas that can propagate the African agenda in a positive way. You are beginning to move in the right direction. You know, Africa has been in the business of saying beautiful things. If you permit me to go down a little into history, I don't want to go too back into history, I just want to go back to 1960. And I hear Africans of that day sitting in Casablanca, Morocco, and say, these are our enemies as people who have been enslaved, as people who have been colonized, as people who are laboring under neo-colonialism. These are our enemies, that one of them is ignorance, and that we must fight ignorance. That the other enemy is poverty, and that we must fight this enemy, and that the other one is disease. I hear them in 1961 in Casablanca, Morocco. And they don't stop there. I hear them in 1962 in Monrovia in Liberia saying the same thing. But I hear them more eloquently in 1963 on the 24th and 25th days in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, saying that if we are to fight these enemies effectively, we must be united. Because if we are not united, we are too fragmented that we will not make an impact. And they don't stop there. In 1964 in Cairo, they repeat the same thing. They're in the business of repeating. But they don't stop there. They don't stop there. They create the Organization of African Unity, but the Organization of African Unity does nothing apart from being a jamboree of African dictators, which meets and spews out speeches which are as followers they are useless. And they don't stop there. They meet again in 1975 in Lomé, Togo, and again in 1971 in Cotonou, saying the same thing. They meet again in Lagos in 1980 and come up with the Lagos Plan of Action and say, Africa must trade with herself. I hear them. And they don't stop there. They do nothing between 1980 and they meet again in 2013. And they come up with Africa Agenda 2063. We are now in the second decade of the 21st century, which means we have lost 20 years. And they meet again, and on the first day of January this year, they come up with Africa Continental Free Trade Area, and they make the following promises. We are going to break down the tariff and anti-tariff barriers. We are going to allow Africans to move across the continent without the requirement of visas. We are going to allow labor to move. We are going to ensure that our products have value addition. They are telling us, if we don't do anything about it, they'll tell us another story in the year 2063. And you and me will be up there. So the time is now to make real those promises. We must no longer and can no longer afford the luxury of waiting for it to be done by others. We must make our contribution. And it is our contribution that will make things change. And that is how I understand Lucas. That is how I understand Dr. Ari Kana when she came up with the idea of Wakanda. And I can imagine that day. I was not there. But I can only imagine that day. When others were watching this Hollywood movie called Wakanda and were agitated about the sci-fi of it, you are agitated about the reality of it. And the reality of it is that we can only give meaning beyond the Polaroid by going into the hard ground and describing the Cape Coast for what it is, a dungeon. Describing Elmina for what it is, a dungeon, and then changing that through alchemy so that we have something that can become a pilgrimage. That is how I understand Wakanda City. And let me tell you, I have no doubt in my mind that there is no shortage of individuals who are saying, let us see, because Africans are also fond of saying that, we have seen these many times. It too shall fail. We are in the business of saying that doomsday scenarios. But let us tell them here and now that it shall not fail. Let us take a solemn vow here that it shall not fail. And I want us, even in an assembly such as this, even when we meet for a few minutes, in order to demonstrate that it shall not fail, even in meetings such as this, to the extent that is useful, there is no sorrow in your pockets if you produce even $100, even in an assembly such as this. Because a long journey starts with baby steps. It is those baby steps that mature so that even here, after we have consumed these beverages, let them give us the energy to give, that we may begin this journey, because when we do with our hearts what is resident there, so that we speak not the language of the lips, but the language of the heart, Africa shall not be the same again. And we must be able to go around in different parts of the continent of Africa. Many times we'll feel lonely. But is it not in solitude that the greatest ideas are birthed? Is it not in solitude that we change the world dramatically? Is it not in solitude that the purity of our thoughts is revealed? And when we have those fewer thoughts, and Brother Shuri, it gladdens me to know that there are 65 organizations that are working under the aegis of the larger organization. I have no problem with organizations existing, no. Those are different permutations of ideas as long as we agree that the agenda is one and that the goal is one. Let us have all these rivers, but because I've always said this and I repeat it again, the glory of the ocean lies in the many rivers that flow into her. The only thing that we must do is that we must make sure that these rivers are flowing in the right direction. Let us not have rivers that are trying to flow upstream. The laws of gravity will not allow you to do that. Only rivers must flow downstream into the ocean. And the ocean that we have now is to begin to invest in the continent of Africa. And as I conclude, let us not be worried. Sometimes we get worried. Sometimes we are in a hurry. We are in a hurry because we think the things will not happen in my lifetime. They will not happen in your lifetime. Because what is your lifetime at the very best? If you live to 120 years, then you are the latter day Methuselah. But there is no danger of you living to those ages, and there is no reason why you should. But you can immortalize yourself. That is the beauty of it. And how do you immortalize yourself? By contributing to processes that will live beyond you, beyond your children and children's children. So let us begin now. Let us begin now. And I can't wait for the month of December. If I was in the business of stopping the sun and causing it to move like Joshua did in the Bible, I would bring the month of December now. But the month of December is now 5 months away. And I hope that we will be present there. And the beauty is that today, even if you are not present physically, you can be present virtually. And the beauty of it is that you can be present through your bank account. This is the beauty of it. And the beauty of
so the world that present in Zambia, those present here, those that are following the possibility. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, obviously the media. I wish to begin by extending what I said as I spoke a few minutes ago, to applaud, to thank the various diaspora associations for convening this important event which has brought in us together, our families. Those of you in the diaspora, those of you here in the country, and your government, central government, local government, quasi-government institutions, and indeed others that are critical to the turnaround efforts of our economy. So thank you for this initiative, and from the outset, Minister of Foreign Affairs has stated already, you have your government's full support. You have your government's full support. You have it. So please continue this good work that you're doing. The theme has already been spoken about, shifting mindsets to unite growth. This is really a rally call. To many of us, this is a rally call to Zambian people to take charge of our shared destiny. Embrace harmony. We lost the art of hard work in the last 10, most certainly. We began to think that we had a good life without working. That's an inherent contradiction. It is not possible to have a good life without working. If we do a good life without working, we are cheating someone. We are taking away from someone who has worked for that which we enjoy. We began to see abnormal things as normal. No, that is not sustainable. Can never be. And we saw it in the way the economy plummeted, from growing at 6%, thereabouts in 2011, banana, down to 5, to 4, to 3, to 2, to 1, to 0, to minus. I love figures, they don't lie. Check the graph. From 2011, the economy went, plummeted, to 0 and to minus. I'm sure the governor and his team, as we meet here, will show you just two slides, two graphs. One of the economy decline since 2011, another the increase in the debt portfolio. The two are contradictory. If you are acquiring an ability in our basic training, many of you, there has to be a double entry and compensating asset. There's no asset. The economy goes completely wiped out. Because we began to live beyond our means. Because we began to enjoy flamboyant life without working hard. Diaspora colleagues, talk to any successful nation. They went through the process of re-engineering themselves, rediscovering themselves, policies, legal reform, regulatory reform, procedures, to pass bureaucracy, but more on top of that, they went very fast. Show me Singapore. Show me Malaysia. Show me Thailand. Show me the country after the war, Vietnam. See what is going on in Vietnam. Halfway. We need diaspora colleagues, citizens, to change. That's the matter of way of speaking. The mind sets. That we can achieve what we want. But we have to wait for it. But we have to also work together. We can let the difference. Amongst yourselves who are organizing this conference, smart and others, you tell them the difference. And I'm listening to when he says, quite of the party, that's the way it is. But out of the quarrel, here we are today. That's very good. But the difference of opinion does not mean hatred for each other. It means we're trying to arrive at a better solution. The country is not different. Absolutely not different. A witness for my sins of the past is not different. So your efforts have to acknowledge that aspect. And I say this without thinking, without shame, with pride. We can achieve what we want as a nation. But we have to rationalize, we have to clarify, we have to make it absolutely crystal clear as to what we want, what we have. So this hardware, effectively, that should come with it. Professionally, that should come with it. Patriotism, unity, I emphasize this. Your country went through the process of division in the last 10, about 7 years. Polarization, marginalization. Your government is here to unite the people's hands. Your government is here to include, not to exclude. Your government is here to equitize. More importantly, your government is here to offer opportunities for all of these people who are willing to work to achieve that. But also your government is clear that corruption is not part of the menu. Corruption is The reason that you had, you had a huge debt just in 7 years. By and large, we borrowed in the last 7 years alone probably around 16 billion dollars. The reason there was no compensating growth and that, to some extent, maybe it's ignorance, maybe it's lack of prudence, but to a large extent, it's corruption. We should have been standing at a different level now as a country. And these efforts you're doing will add it on to the growth trajectory. We're now having to, as I said, invest in macro stability with a bit of pain to stabilize the pensions. I'm sure you're pleased that for a long time you can take the question and almost buy a rent once in a long time. You can plan, try and manage interest very well. Because of the things you're doing, you need that environment. We need that environment to be able to predict, to project your balance sheet, your income statement. It's of absolute necessity. But these distortions I talked about, which is not part of the menu, created a lot of things. Your government is working very hard to bring these under control. And we need your support. Because you are knowledgeable people. You understand the issues. As a team, a diversified team, we invite your know-how. We invite your experience. What you have experienced outside the country is needed most now. I repeat, your experience outside of the country, corporations, in America, those state corporates and federal governments, to some extent, isn't it? State government, central government, federal government, you call it. We learn those experiences to be brought to bear in our country, your country. And we're friends. We're family. Use the 11th process, ladies and gentlemen, there's for us. And I ask it to our nation, to our government, to our people. Pivotal, a pivotal component of our national government agenda, including your critical citizens. Indeed, welcome. As I said already, we want to thank you. I'm summarizing my speech. We want to thank you for your great contribution in shaping the choices, mindsets. I listened to you solely. One point you didn't care about Tamil, let down. But we want you to help us convince others much quicker to come to that reality. And I hope these are the platforms that will enable us to do this. We also wish to acknowledge your potential in creating, facilitating trade and investment. And a lot of research, you know me. No matter how good-hearted we are, other people. No matter how much we want to give, if we don't create partners, we have nothing to share with anyone. We can't share openly. It's not visible. So we want, we wish to utilize your networks to mobilize trade investment. I'll talk about your remittance. It's only a small portion. You can leverage your relationships in Brussels. I asked the colleagues that gathered to talk to us. And then, Once you understand that you are living in environments where the rates of interest are so low, just understand. And if you can refinance some of the assets you have in those jurisdictions where you need to release capital, which is time in those assets, and then you can invest, you select your areas of investment much higher than what your return is where you need. Trust me, I was like you some years ago. I did that circumstance. I made a decision to come home. I asked a few colleagues if they didn't come back home. But today we laugh about that conversation. Forget the politics. Just private life. Because we return here with the discipline that we're bringing in the economy, you achieve more. And pay less. Mobilize resources at a lower cost where you are, and invest home where you stay inside. Risk mitigation issues that are coming to the way we are running the economy. So, beyond yourself, the corporations you work for, with, then let's look at the next level of industry. Between Congo and Zambia, large, more than 30 countries to control almost 70% of corporate resources. I don't think you're aware of that. Corporate means we unlocked the project about a month and a half ago, first quarter project, which will basically build the building right now. I'll be going in to look at it. The largest nickel mine on the African continent. This project could not move for the last more than 12 years. We took an agenda that would unlock it when we were sitting in the opposition. We unlocked it. Around it crops opportunities for you and your friends. But this is like marriage. The people that will go into partnership with you are those who know you reasonably well. That when they are sleeping, you will not chop their throats. Not cheat, not steal from them. It's not business. Again, for my little sins of the past, anyway. So you utilize this opportunity. Your continent, your country has said, we cannot continue to trade the way we traded 100 years ago. Maybe 200 years ago, 400 years ago. We've always exported raw materials, including human beings. I'm serious. This is not about reparations for slavery. We send our people away, sometimes by force, peace. We've been spending and selling copper, cobalt in this rock form for centuries. Now is the time to produce, to process, to pack, to repack, to distribute business money, the government's name, for the local market, for the regional market, for the global market. Higher value items, including processed food. You are aware that there is a looming food insecurity in the world. It's coming fast. And your country has basically the conditions that will alleviate the global food shortage coming. Take advantage of it. It's well taken. Share the opportunities, ministers, here, clear, and unambiguous with our colleagues. Share the opportunities, effects. And the conversation we've been having about electric vehicles is narrowing down to electrical vehicle batteries. But there's only one company, small company. There are several other companies which you working with General Electric, working with Hyundai, working with Mitsui, and your contact, we can now bring those to bear and locate those processing facilities here in your country. And you'll be part of it, you'll be a shareholder, you'll be whatever you want. The government, we the government, should embrace this initiative. This initiative for accelerating this agenda. So, I always find this option to be a direct talker. Because again, in the times we got used to betting around, knowing it's around, and believe the real issues are not right. It's a rare opportunity. Let's separate the noise. There's a lot of noise. The social media advance, there's a lot of noise. A lot of falsehoods. Who is taking away the space and the time we need to share materiality, content, real issues? We would like you to take the lead to open doors to tell us, hey, Minister of Green Economy, you're not taking advantage of the climate adaptation. Funds and opportunities. This is how we live. And not those opportunities. That's all. India lies in this opportunity for you. And the country which will create jobs for me. That's the intersection. That's the common interest we have for the user is to create jobs for them, business opportunities for them to better life them. And then we can look after the weak, the sick, the poor, the desired. Sure, you know, the government first budget has been able to clear a lot of retirement benefits for those who were queuing at the Ministry of Finance for years. First budget, we get priority. We can look after the young. First budget, we've got about clear education again. Again, it's more hopes. Now they're going to be like, oh, the bodies are failed because they're not necessary questions. Come on, give me a break. The first point is to acknowledge that why they overcome. It means that there were children who were not in school, but were school going because they were having that. That's the first thing. Now they're overcrowding, having problem. It's buying this. Is the money there? Yes, it's there. Build more classroom space. Is the money there? Yes. We deal with the constraint budget. Let's work together. That's for a friend. I want that. They don't want to be. The men were always connected. Land, marriage, husbandship, marriage. Where did that become? I said that in my difficult days in this country. That we were never alone, even when we were alone in small cells, Zambians were with us. Friends of Zambians were with us. We loved them. And then they used this family links to create power. The thing that my important for me to say, that Zambia would have been saved by my colleagues. Absolutely. The policy, from what you discussed, madam, you've already covered those issues, or one of the presenters here, you've discussed the diaspora policy, our policy, and the only difference. Building trust, confidence, and engagement between yourselves and government is important. Strengthening dialogue, that. Not talking over each other, but talking to each other. In relationships. To gain understanding. Our government is creating an enabling environment to boost investment opportunities. That's what keeps me awake in the night. Yes, we bring macro stability, other regulatory circumstances. Yes, we're working on dismantling the head mount. Sure, you follow the issues of the common framework. Data Sustainability Initiative to cartel at the 40 when we before we impair our credibility and raise the cost of damage, that will make sense. The disclosure in that area, colleagues, we look at ways of moving on and not be held back by the common government issues around the data system. All of those issues are important here. But we're looking up to open other avenues, other ways. Our government, obviously your government, is determined. We may miss one or two things, that's normal. Talk to us. Talk to us. Don't talk over us. Talk to us. Part of what we manage ourselves to do is to restore the rule of law, to take out bandit mentality in our country. 11 months ago, 10 months ago, you couldn't go to the intercity bank of being suffered unless you want to go in suicide. If you were smiling and you were known that you were sending European T-shirts in Zambia from South Africa and you appear at intercity, you are signing dead ones. But they knew that. They knew it. The party that is me. Today there's nothing else. Passports accessible to all, markets accessible to all. It's part of this agenda to create the right environment. Colleagues, we've already 10 months down the road that we are taking these issues for granted. You don't want to go back to those days. Those days, they are put in the university. Serving uniform out there singing. And if you look at the pocket, you see the vouching, they're not the guns in there. And they're quick to discharge by ammunition. And we don't see this. We must pray together and say that's not what we want. What we want is what we are discussing here. That's what we want. But as the Minister of Foreign Affairs said, let's walk the talk. In this meeting, after the meeting, check these for things that we agree needs to be followed up, time frames. That's all about cabinet colleagues. And they're finding that we're going to spread. I said that's how we went to the budget. Process is important, but outcome is more important. Deliverance. Those organizers here would like to see an action is at the end of this office. With clear deliverance and time frames, where you want your government to do certain things, don't be shy. Put those things down. If the minister is hiding, send that to the secret committee. The minister will hide. So, government institutions should be available to do things for you in the diaspora. Basic things. Consular services. Minister of Foreign Affairs, part of his assessment, you know, is to unlock those small things, those nuances for colleagues in the diaspora. To get on with more important things. I was in Washington at the time after the UN. And colleagues were talking to me, oh, our passport. If we spend 3 days on a passport, when do we have time to spend on how to bring an investment here that will create 2,000 jobs? The passport should be mandated. And it's a right anyway. So you do my right with it. Because it gives you the freedom of movement. So, Minister, and our government to deal with those issues. Upholding the principles of democracy is important to us. As I said to you, 10 months ago, what was abnormal became normal. Not again. But your way was the hell, adamant of being a minister. I used to speak to someone and say, look, talk to your family members at home that what is happening is not normal. And you did a good job. Thank you very much. Park, the governor is here, and I guess the commercial bank is here. The court said that I can't do submission. One of the things I do, I'm an old-fashioned student. I make notes, and people are talking mental and physical. The statistics you read thoroughly again, the cost of remittances is too high. It's becoming a broker. We should unlock that. Unlock that materiality. What is materiality? It's not, the value doesn't lie in the cost of that service. The value lies in more money coming home, and then we can use it in the investment to grow the bank. It's like the argument I'm making is that about license fees, environmental impact assessment fees. How can you structure the environmental impact assessment fee to be a percentage of the total investment? I'm a preemptive shareholder. The value doesn't lie in that fee. In this room where you are, so what's going on here? We spent 4 years arguing to bring this investment where you are seated today. And part of the argument was that we would like a certain percentage of the environmental impact assessment fee. So we want that to boost government revenues. Did you not understand? The government revenues will come from the GDP contribution this investment will make. That means jobs, indirect jobs, suppliers of goods and services, laundry, restaurants, eggs, wheat, they mention it. Your government is waking up to change this understanding and damage the bureaucracy. In the last Thursday meeting, I think my colleague did like me, I spent minutes talking about bureaucracy. I said, I want to go in the order. Let's work together to unlock this. If you're facing issues, talk to us that I am not getting this and that done. Then we should unlock it. So back to the East government, please, let's look at almost instantaneously looking at how we can lower the transmission cost. Thank you. And in return, we ask him to push more money. It's not free lunch. But in most respects, we acknowledge the challenge. The government is competent, his team is competent, and other people are competent. I think we can have a small item here, colleagues, managers in this conference, a small item that will check this, the time frame delivered on how and when we lower this cost. I think that would be good. To come up with this conference. Yeah. International Organization for Migration, I think it's there to help us. I understand they've done the benchmarking and where it will go. I just want to mention to you this platform that the public private dialogue platform your government has created is partially to facilitate what you're doing. And maybe minutes of comments, we can check this last item to bring in the 11 problems so that they can agree with the nation on the public-private dialogue, a formal representation. I will not say much, I was going to say a few things around here. Once we bring them on the platform in the team, then the rest we can do together. The idea is to share opportunities, sectoral effort, but to also work together how to cut the progress. I don't pronounce it like that, but I do it to diminish the progress. The land issues you talked about, title issues, all of those issues sit in there. So I won't say much. So let's have a formal representation of the 11 governments of the diaspora on that dialogue. And the rest of them will be this together. Will be patched together. That's what I want to say. The issues I around, transparent, accountable systems, lowering the cost of doing business, just business process reengineering, all of this, policy, coherence, consistent, ensuring protection of private sector investment, and here we are not talking about large corporates. I want to share some of the ridicule I've received in this country over the years, which is this thing, that HH represents foreign interest. Which foreign interest? Let's separate political noise from substance. You Zambians, you bring investments that helps grow the economy, you create jobs for Zambians, isn't it? You pay tax, isn't it? You contract a service provider, isn't it? You put money in. So why is it that I'm representing foreign interest? I work for the people of Zambia. I chose to work for the people of Zambia. Conscious. With all the troubles that we went through, we were determined to work for the people of Zambia. We are still determined today. So let's get the right narrative. If we don't invest in the electric vehicle methods, cobalt, nickel, manganese, lithium, and others, we will miss out in the billions, if not trillions, of the business potential when we travel from brown energy to green energy. Who is it? Can we do it alone? Do we have capacity alone? We should be smart. We should now know what we have and leverage it to get capital, fair cut, to get technology, and the two work for us. We have for better benefits. Things be separate the noise from substance. You want to call me a stooge? I'll give you who I'm a stooge of. I'm a stooge of the people of Zambia. Push me. And I'm proud to be. You should be proud to be. I was going to use the local language, but very few of you understand. But what I was going to say, I'll try and explain it in English. You can't eat a human being when you eat from your hand. You eat what they deliver, what they produce, and how they produce it. This brought me in by saying in terms of one shot. Philanthropic initiatives, welcome. I won't waste time on that. You welcome. There's always someone who needs help. Anyway, it isn't a very that people need help, we want. Anyway, let's help our fellow citizens. You are already doing it yourselves. But we want to make sure that we do this within the laws of our land. We support the needy within the laws of our land. Your interests were talked about. The minister touched on, I think you touched on it, maybe better. This government will work for the people of Zambia. We, the students of the people of Zambia, will work for them, those who are here in the geographical boundaries of this country, those who are outside yourselves, work for you. When you are in trouble, for the first time this country changing its attitude, when a Zambian is in trouble outside of Zambia, we will take interest. I'm glad to acknowledge your great efforts. Thank you very much to you. Work together. You acknowledge Ethiopia. But I want to remind you, even a single Zambian has issues. Please do get in touch with the foreign minister. Or your relatives should get in touch with and politics. We have one standard sad situation in the state. There are one private banking. We start with the American ambassador, embassy, and staff. So it's a complicated issue. But we found an answer. We resolved it. For one subject. It has nothing to do with the government. You know, it's their own negative behavior. But the state, there are still citizens of ours who are not China. But the situation in China, we resolved it only two weeks ago. One subject. So I want to send a message to you that we are there for you. Doesn't matter what you need, we are there. You may not feel it now because you're okay. The day you're not okay, you'll feel it. But for us to do this easy, for us to have home to do this easy, please help us. How? Register with the nearest mission, wherever, to have the records. In Ukraine, we spend time hunting around for our people who were not registered. Some were registered, and time to came home, came somehow they indicated they returned, but they found love in Ukraine. And went into more time and hid there. We found them better, and it was more difficult to evacuate them because we didn't have the information. I'm quite reasonable. We struggled. I had to speak better to some of our citizens there to assure them. Myself, as a chief servant. But it would have been easier if they were all recorded properly. Those that say, to be honest, because they decided to stay, because their partner's wife or husband didn't want them to go away, we gave them everything. But we hope they say. Your government is working on enhancing the nation's capacity to handle your needs. Your government will negotiate and find bilateral labor agreements. Watch my steps. When you see me traveling, I'm smelling something. I'm smelling something. So, we'll negotiate, we'll reach agreement on a bilateral terms where we can use Mount Blackberry, we'll reach my head. Pretty clear. Think we're able to do that. Minister of Foreign Affairs, one of his yardstick for assessment visa. We want to push more Zambians into employment in regional organizations. That is SADC, African Union, Commonwealth, UN16. If you check, there are more West Africans than East Africans than Southern Africa. Partially, it was the government's attitude in the past. A request has come home, land on the minister's desk to support the citizen, even you are already there, to get a job there. And of course, the minister over the president's office has no card in connection to go there. They think on that opportunity. Now this government will be running to support you when you apply for a job in this program. And we want you just be of good character. Because we'll be there first. We'll back you. And that's new. I've made that position clear and clear. I'm returning to the Commonwealth. I made it very clear. To back this contract. So we expect this gentleman to renew that contract. But where are the Zambians? I don't think Zambians are the Commonwealth representative. Could you? That's why. Now, this government is your tool. You sense something, you sense an opportunity, you are telling you want to shift, you want to do something, tell us. But what's your guide? What do we need to do? Once you tell us what we need to do, we'll do it. As long as it's within normal capacity. Political participation. You are free. You're welcome. You helped bring about change. But we found a toxic environment outside. We're waiting to open that political environment. That will allow more of you to participate when you want to, which will allow more women. We have fewer women in parliament because very few women could endure tear gas, could endure party that meeting them in South Sudan. All of that is behind us. So we're looking at to you to respond positively in this our democratic state. Takes long to build, it's easy to destroy. But working with you, we will build our democracy. And we will do it within the law. Because there's so much excesses in the last 10 or 7 years.